The following audio is from Delta Church in Springfield, Illinois. Our purpose is to proclaim the gospel through the church to a world that needs Jesus Christ. We pray this sermon will aid and encourage your daily walk with Jesus. For more information about Delta, you can visit us online at deltachurch.net.
Good morning, saints in Springfield. Good morning to you, faithful in Christ Jesus. We are going to start our new sermon series this morning in the book of Ephesians, which means our reading this morning is coming from the book of Ephesians. So go ahead and grab your Bibles, turn to Ephesians chapter 1. We're going to be reading this morning verses 1 and 2. It's the introduction of Paul's letter to these Christians in the city of Ephesus. And we're just going to concentrate on these two verses this morning for our sermon. So again, our text reading this morning is Ephesians chapter 1, verses 1 and 2. Paul is going to write to these Ephesian Christians, and this is what he wrote as he was carried along by the Holy Spirit. Paul, an apostle of Christ Jesus, by the will of God, to the saints who are in Ephesus and are faithful in Christ Jesus. Grace to you and peace from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. Well, welcome. As I just said, we are starting a new sermon series that's going to occupy us for the next several months as we work through what might be argued one of the best Pauline epistles that he ever wrote. Our sermon title this morning is going to be titled God's New Community. And really, if you want to just sort of summarize in a couple of words the big idea that the Apostle Paul is putting forward to us in his letter to the Ephesians, it's this. It's this idea that God has created a new community by way of his saving grace. The main idea that we're going to see this morning, and again, if you want to just encapsulate the book of Ephesians with a sentence as a main idea, what we can see is this, that we are a gospel people in Christ called to live out Christ. This letter is one of those phenomenal letters where Paul is going to take six chapters to help us understand what it means to be in Christ, saved by grace through faith. And then he's going to take the back half of his letter and say, listen, if you are saved by grace through faith, if you are truly a gospel people because God has saved you, here is what it looks like to live out that life in Christ as the new community, showing the world around us what it looks like to be this gospel people. So again, our main idea this morning is this. We are a gospel people in Christ called to live out Christ. So I'm going to pray, then we're going to dive into these two verses this morning. So let's pray. Holy Spirit, I ask that you would move in power, that you would move in might, that these two verses, the simple yet deep introduction of the Apostle Paul, would land on us and stir our hearts to wonder and stoke our hearts to worship as we consider the grace and peace we have from God. God, help us this morning. Turn our eyes to behold the wonderful mystery of the gospel revealed, that we can have peace and grace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ. Holy Spirit, I cannot make these things happen in hearts. I cannot make these things happen in minds. That is your job, Holy Spirit. So I'm asking you, Spirit, to fill and to assist me to proclaim even now the immeasurable riches of God's grace and kindness shown to us in the Lord Jesus Christ, beginning even now through these two verses of this simple introduction. It's in the living name of our resurrected Savior I pray these things. Amen. Think about the letter to the Ephesians. Some have described it in this way: the queen of the epistles, the crown of St. Paul's writings. Said one reader of Paul's letter, "To this book I owe my life. In this book I saw a new world. Everything was new. I had a new outlook. I had new experiences. I had new attitudes to other people. I loved God. Jesus Christ became the center of everything. I had been quickened as a result of reading these words. I was really alive." Well, welcome to the book of Ephesians. Standing at 6 chapters in length, a book, when you read it from beginning to end, takes roughly about 20 minutes to read. Paul's letter to the Ephesians is a powerhouse of a letter. When you read through it, you discover that Paul's letter to the Ephesians is marvelously concise. Yet what's striking is that for all of its conciseness, Ephesians is also gloriously comprehensive. In a matter of just 155 verses, Paul takes us from before the foundations of the world to our present tense status as recipients of God's peace. He takes us from the depths of human depravity to the heights of sovereign grace. The mystery of the gospel that has captivated Paul is set forth in such a way that the breadth of God's saving power moves us to wonder and it stirs us to worship. In short, Paul's letter to the Christians in Ephesus is a God-glorifying fusion of deep doctrine that results in a life of doxology. It's that beautiful mixture of doctrine and doxology, truths that we know about God that result in praise to God. And really, this mixture of doctrine leading to doxology that we find in Paul's letter to the Ephesians, it really makes a lot of sense. You see, when we mature in our understanding of God's truths, when we mature in our understanding of God Himself, when we mature in the practical application of these truths, doctrine, the natural result will be a life of praise, doxology. Why? Because when doctrine and the application of it in our lives comes together and meets in that beautiful things we know about God, informing our behavior here on earth, what will happen is we will find that sweet spot where we are living how God created us to live. And when our beliefs about God inform our behavior in everyday life, guess what? Praise will erupt from God's people. Because, as I just said, we are actually truly living in the way God created us to live. He created us to live in such a way where we learn more about Him and then walk in obedience to Him, where we grow in our belief of who He is and what He has done. And when that affects our everyday lives, guess what? You will be walking in such a way to where you will want to praise and worship God. In Ephesians chapter 1, Paul writes this: "According to the purpose of His will, God predestined us for adoption into His family. As God's gospel people, we now have new life in Christ." And then, when God's gospel people learn how to live out this new life in Christ, man, I'm telling you, you are living in that sweet spot that Ephesians is going to talk about. The place where the gospel deeps set before us in Paul's letter inform our behavior, resulting in praise and worship to our living God. Listen, when gospel belief results in gospel behavior, God's new community will shine as a beacon of living hope as they visibly demonstrate the work of redemption which God has done in them. And what more does the world need to see, and what more does the world need to know but the living hope of eternal life in Christ, which can be theirs. This is why Paul's letter is such a timely letter to study, because this is what Paul writes about as he guides us, gospel people, into gospel living, all for the glory of God. So here's how we're going to begin our adventure in this magnificent letter penned by the Apostle Paul. We're going to concentrate on verses 1 and 2 this morning. And as we dive into these two verses, we're going to see three things. We're going to see the author, we're going to see the recipients, and we're going to see the message. The author, the recipients, and the message. And then when we get done with the sermon, we're going to close out our service as we transition into our time of worship through music by doing something that's just a little bit special. So first, look at the beginning of verse 1, and you'll notice the author. You'll find the author there. Look at how Paul begins his letter right there at the beginning of verse 1. He says this, "Paul, an apostle of Christ Jesus, by the will of God." Paul is the author of this letter, and he identifies himself as an apostle of Christ Jesus. In saying he is an apostle, Paul is saying he is a sent one. This is what the word apostle means. The apostle means someone who has been sent. It means you've been specifically chosen to be sent out with a message. You've been chosen specially to go out on a mission. And notice that he's been sent out on this special mission with a special message by the will of God. You see, Paul is not an apostle because he just woke up on some random Tuesday and said, you know what, I think I'm just going to make myself an apostle of the Lord Jesus Christ. That's not the way it happened. He's also not an apostle because someone said, Paul, we are making you to be an apostle. That is not the way that it happened. According to the counsel of his will, God set Paul apart to proclaim Christ's gospel, to proclaim Christ's resurrection, to proclaim God's word. So what this means for us as men and women living in the year 2020 is that when we go into the book of Ephesians and when we read Paul's letter to these Christians, we need to sit up and we need to pay attention. Because what lies before us are not the mere musings of a man. What we have before us are the words of God written by a called man of God as he was carried along by the Spirit of God. Listen, if you want to know what God is saying to you today, you don't have to go out there and stick your ears to the heaven and hope you hear him speak. You can go to your Bible. You can go to a place like Paul's letter to the Ephesians, and you can hear God talking to you through the words written on that page. So as we understand who the author is, Paul, an apostle called by the will of God, we need to understand that it is to our detriment if we ignore what he has to say. To ignore what he has to say is to ultimately ignore what God has to say. And we don't want to be ignorant of God's word. We want to soak under God's word. We want to be washed by the water of God's word. And we can do that because of who this author is, a man called by the will of God. Next thing we see is this, not the author, but the recipients. Look at the back half of verse 1. The recipients. You see there at the end of verse 1, Paul continues by talking about to whom the letter is addressed. He says this, "This letter is being written to the saints who are in Ephesus and are faithful in Christ Jesus." In the original language, the word for saints is the word hagios. And that word is a word that means holy ones. To be a saint is to be hagios, it's to be holy, those who are holy, set apart by God. So in calling the Christians in Ephesus saints, Paul is calling them actually what they are. As men and women saved by grace, they are now people set apart to belong to God, holy. This is what you are if you are in Christ, holy. God's gospel people are holy and right with God because of God's saving grace shown to them. So notice they are saints in Ephesus, but they are also faithful in Christ Jesus. That is, they are those who have placed their faith in Jesus. Their trust is in Jesus alone. Listen, what you need to understand is this, that the object of our faith really matters. The object of our faith really matters. Unfortunately, there are a lot of people in hell who went to hell with great faith. But the truth of the matter is their great faith was greatly misplaced in someone or greatly misplaced in something other than Jesus. But in contrast to this misplaced faith stand the Ephesian Christians. And since the object of their faith is Jesus, this means they are in Christ. To the Ephesian Christians, faithful in Christ. So when Paul tells them they are saints in Ephesus, on one hand, while simultaneously being faithful in Christ, what he's doing is reminding them that they are people who have two homes, an earthly home in Ephesus and a heavenly home in Christ. And the same is true for us this morning if we too can say, I have been saved by grace through faith in Jesus Christ. Right now, we reside equally in Springfield and in Christ. And what Paul would say to us is that while we may reside in Springfield, we must never, never, never forget our heavenly identity in Christ. You see, in the words of one brother, he says this, many of our spiritual troubles arise from our failure to remember that we are citizens of two kingdoms. We tend either to pursue Christ and withdraw from the world, or become preoccupied with the world and forget that we are also in Christ. You see, our heavenly heritage is meant to inform our earthly behavior and not the other way around. This is why it's important to understand the recipients of this letter. God, through Paul, will help us to not only grow in our in-Christness, but he's also, through this letter, going to help us live out Christ in our in-Springfieldness as well. That is why Paul's letter to the Ephesians is so timely for us today. We want to be citizens of Christ's kingdom who know our identity as a gospel people is in Christ, and let that identity, let that position flow outward to our practice as people in Springfield, in Auburn, in Chatham, in Athens, in Williamsville, and everywhere beyond. That's why Paul's letter to the Ephesians is so timely for us to be studying as well. Lastly, we're going to see this, not the author, not the recipients, but we're going to see the message. The message, look at verse 2. Paul says, grace to you and peace from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. Paul's message to these faithful saints is a message of grace and peace. Grace and peace. The gospel message found in the Bible is a good news message of God's grace to you. Paul, in this letter, is going to dive deep into the immeasurable riches of God's grace. Grace by which we've been saved through faith. Grace that is greater than our sin. Grace that has its beginning before the foundation of the world. And not only that, but he's going to talk about peace. Peace rooted and grounded in God our Father. Peace that flows from the Lord Jesus Christ. And it's upon this message of grace, it's upon this message of peace that the rest of the letter rests. We were created by God to know his grace and enjoy his peace forever. That's what you were created to do. That's who you were created to be, someone who knows God's grace and enjoys his peace for eternity. After all, it's only once we've received the grace and peace of God that we find our true identity and our true purpose in life. What God accomplished by his grace is a new gospel people. That's what you're going to see in Paul's letter to the Ephesians. You're going to see that a new community of men and women who are not only have new life in Christ by grace, but they're also called to be a new community in Christ who are marked by peace. And it's these gospel people who in turn truly then go and live out Christ. A Jesus people so radically changed by grace and peace that they strive in unity, that they walk in purity, filled with the Spirit as they grow in submission in the relationships and stand strong in the Lord as it relates to spiritual warfare. So here's how we're going to wrap up our time this morning. Here's how we're going to land the plane on our service. What we're going to do is we're going to close out by reading this letter in its entirety. You see, my hope is that as you look and as you listen to God's word read aloud, that the Holy Spirit will stir up wonder in your hearts and stir up worship as you soak in the immeasurable riches of God's grace to you. So here's my encouragement right now. My encouragement would be this: grab your Bibles. What we're going to do is we're going to, like I just said, read the entirety of Paul's letter to the Ephesians. It should take about 15 to 20 minutes to do so. But as we begin this adventure in this letter, what I'm hoping is that this will just give us that grandiose snapshot of how God was carrying along the Apostle Paul to take us from before the foundations of the world all the way to the grace and peace and the practical applications that come out of that grace and peace as gospel people walk filled with the Spirit in a way that is marked by gospel living. We're going to put all that before us as we just soak under the washing of God's word. So as I said, grab your Bibles. The verses are also going to be on the screen. You can follow along on the screen. And as you are washed with the water of God's word, here's my prayer and here's my hope, that the eyes of your hearts would be enlightened to know the hope to which God has called you. The first section that we're going to see is going to be this: new life in Christ. New life in Christ. Ephesians chapter 1, verse 1 through chapter 2, verse 10. Paul, an apostle of Christ Jesus by the will of God, to the saints who are in Ephesus and are faithful in Christ Jesus. Grace to you and peace from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who has blessed us in Christ with every spiritual blessing in the heavenly places, even as he chose us in him before the foundation of the world, that we should be holy and blameless before him. In love, he predestined us for adoption to himself as sons through Jesus Christ, according to the purpose of his will, to the praise of his glorious grace, with which he has blessed us in the beloved. In him, we have redemption through his blood, the forgiveness of our trespasses, according to the riches of his grace, which he lavished on us in all wisdom and insight, making known to us the mystery of his will, according to his purpose, which he set forth in Christ. As a plan for the fullness of time, to unite all things in him, things in heaven and things on earth. In him we have obtained an inheritance, having been predestined according to the purpose of him who works all things according to the counsel of his will, so that we who were the first to hope in Christ might be to the praise of his glory. In him you also, when you heard the word of truth, the gospel of your salvation, and believed in him, you were sealed with the promised Holy Spirit, who is the guarantee of our inheritance until we acquire possession of it, to the praise of his glory. For this reason, because I have heard of your faith in the Lord Jesus and your love toward all the saints, I do not cease to give thanks to you, remembering you in my prayers, that the God of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of glory, may give you the spirit of wisdom and of revelation in the knowledge of him, having the eyes of your hearts enlightened, so that you may know what is the hope to which he has called you, what are the riches of his glorious inheritance in the saints, and what is the immeasurable greatness of his power toward us who believe, according to the working of his great might, that he worked in Christ when he raised him from the dead and seated him at his right hand in the heavenly places, far above all rule and authority and power and dominion, and above every name that is named, not only in this age, but also in the one to come. And he put all things under his feet and gave him as head over all things to the church, which is his body, the fullness of him who fills all in all. And you were dead in the trespasses and sins in which you once walked, following the course of this world, following the prince of the power of the air, the spirit that is now at work in the sons of disobedience, among whom we all once lived in the passions of our flesh, carrying out the desires of the body and the mind, and were by nature children of wrath like the rest of mankind. But God, being rich in mercy, because of the great love with which he loved us, even when we were dead in our trespasses, made us alive together with Christ. By grace you have been saved, and raised us up with him, and seated us with him in the heavenly places in Christ Jesus, so that in the coming ages he might show the immeasurable riches of his grace in kindness toward us in Christ Jesus. For by grace you have been saved through faith. And this is not your own doing, it is the gift of God, not a result of works, so that no one may boast. For we are his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus for good works, which God prepared beforehand that we should walk in them.
A new community in Christ. Ephesians 2, verses 11 through chapter 3, verse 21. Therefore, remember that at one time you Gentiles in the flesh, called the uncircumcision by what is called the circumcision, which is made in the flesh by hands. Remember that you were at that time separated from Christ, alienated from the commonwealth of Israel, and strangers to the covenants of promise, having no hope and without God in the world. But now, in Christ Jesus, you who were once far off have been brought near by the blood of Christ. For he himself is our peace, who has made us both one and has broken down in his flesh the dividing wall of hostility, by abolishing the law of commandments expressed in ordinances, that he might create in himself one new man in place of the two, so making peace, and might reconcile us both to God in one body through the cross, thereby killing the hostility. And he came and preached peace to you who were far off, and peace to those who were near. For through him we both have access in one Spirit to the Father. So then you are no longer strangers and aliens, but you are fellow citizens with the saints and members of the household of God, built on the foundation of the apostles and prophets, Christ Jesus himself being the cornerstone, in whom the whole structure, being joined together, grows into a holy temple in the Lord. In him you also are being built together into a dwelling place for God by the Spirit. For this reason, I, Paul, a prisoner of Christ Jesus on behalf of you Gentiles, assuming that you have heard of the stewardship of God's grace that was given to me for you, how the mystery was made known to me by revelation, as I have written briefly. When you read this, you can perceive my insight into the mystery of Christ, which was not made known to the sons of men in other generations, as it has now been revealed to his holy apostles and prophets by the Spirit. This mystery is that the Gentiles are fellow heirs, members of the same body, and partakers of the promise in Christ Jesus through the gospel. Of this gospel I was made a minister according to the gift of God's grace, which was given to me by the working of his power. To me, though I am the very least of all the saints, this grace was given to preach to the Gentiles the unsearchable riches of Christ, and to bring to light for people what is the plan of the mystery hidden for all ages in God, who created all things, so that through the church the manifold wisdom of God might now be made known to the rulers and authorities in the heavenly places. This was according to the eternal promise that he has realized in Christ Jesus our Lord, in whom we have boldness and access with confidence through our faith in him. So I ask you not to lose heart over what I am suffering for you, which is your glory. For this reason I bow my knees before the Father, from whom every family in heaven and on earth is named, that according to the riches of his glory he may grant you to be strengthened with power through his Spirit in your inner being, so that Christ may dwell in your hearts through faith, that you, being rooted and grounded in love, may have strength to comprehend with all the saints what is the breadth and strength and height and depth, and to know the love of Christ that surpasses knowledge, that you may be filled with all the fullness of God. Now to him who is able to do far more abundantly than all that we ask or think, according to the power at work within us, to him be the glory in the church and in Christ Jesus throughout all generations, forever and ever. Amen.
Live out Christ in unity and purity. Ephesians 4, 1 through 5, 17. I, therefore, a prisoner for the Lord, urge you to walk in a manner worthy of the calling to which you have been called, with all humility
and gentleness, with patience, bearing with one another in love, eager to maintain the unity of the Spirit in the bond of peace. There is one body and one Spirit, just as you were called to the one hope that belongs to your call. One Lord, one faith, one baptism, one God and Father of all, who is over all and through all and in all. But grace was given to each one of us according to the measure of Christ's gift. Therefore, it says, when he ascended on high, he led a host of captives and he gave gifts to men. In saying he ascended, what does it mean but that he had also descended into the lower regions, the earth? He who descended is the one who also ascended far above all the heavens, that he might fill all things. And he gave the apostles, the prophets, the evangelists, the shepherds, and the teachers to equip the saints for the work of ministry, for building up the body of Christ until we all attain to the unity of the faith and of the knowledge of the Son of God, to mature manhood, to the measure of the stature of the fullness of Christ, so that we may no longer be children tossed to and fro by the waves and carried about by every wind of doctrine, by human cunning, by craftiness in deceitful schemes. Rather, speaking the truth in love, we are to grow up in every way into Him who is the head, into Christ, from whom the whole body, joined and held together by every joint with which it is equipped, when each part is working properly, makes the body grow, so it builds itself up in love. Now this I say and testify in the Lord, that you must no longer walk as the Gentiles do, in the futility of their minds. They are darkened in their understanding, alienated from the life of God because of the ignorance that is in them due to their hardness of heart. They have become callous and have given themselves up to sensuality, greedy to practice every kind of impurity. But that is not the way you learned Christ, assuming that you have heard about Him and were taught in Him as the truth is in Jesus, to put off your old self, which belongs to your former manner of life and is corrupt through deceitful desires, and to be renewed in the spirit of your minds, and to put on the new self, created after the likeness of God in true righteousness and holiness. Therefore, having put away falsehood, let each one of you speak the truth with his neighbor, for we are members one of another. Be angry and do not sin. Do not let the sun go down on your anger, and give no opportunity to the devil. Let the thief no longer steal, but rather let him labor, doing honest work with his own hands, so that he may have something to share with anyone in need. Let no corrupting talk come out of your mouths, but only such as is good for building up, as fits the occasion, that it may give grace to those who hear. And do not grieve the Holy Spirit of God, by whom you were sealed for the day of redemption. Let all bitterness and wrath and anger and clamor and slander be put away from you with all malice. Be kind to one another, tender-hearted, forgiving one another as God in Christ forgave you. Therefore, be imitators of God as beloved children, and walk in love as Christ loved us and gave himself up for us, a fragrant offering and sacrifice to God. But sexual immorality and all impurity or covetousness must not even be named among you, as is proper among saints. Let there be no filthiness, nor foolish talk, nor crude joking, which are out of place, but instead let there be thanksgiving. For you may be sure of this, that everyone who is sexually immoral or impure, or who is covetous, that is, an idolater, has no inheritance in the kingdom of Christ and God. Let no one deceive you with empty words, for because of these things the wrath of God comes upon the sons of disobedience. Therefore, do not become partners with them. For at one time you were darkness, but now you are light in the Lord. Walk as children of light. For the fruit of light is found in all that is good and right and true, and try to discern what is pleasing to the Lord. Take no part in the unfruitful works of darkness, but instead expose them. For it is shameful even to speak of the things that they do in secret. But when anything is exposed by the light, it becomes visible. For anything that becomes visible is light. Therefore it says, "Awake, O sleeper, and arise from the dead, and Christ will shine on you." Look carefully then how you walk, not as unwise, but as wise, making the best use of the time, because the days are evil. Therefore, do not be foolish, but understand what the will of the Lord is.
Live out Christ in submission and strength. Ephesians chapter 5, verse 18 through chapter 6, verse 24. And do not get drunk with wine, for that is debauchery, but be filled with the Spirit, addressing one another in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing and making melody to the Lord with your heart, giving thanks always and for everything to God the Father in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ, submitting to one another out of reverence for Christ. Wives, submit to your own husbands as to the Lord. For the husband is the head of the wife, even as Christ is the head of the church, his body, and is himself its Savior. Now, as the church submits to Christ, so also wives should submit in everything to their husbands. Husbands, love your wives as Christ loved the church and gave himself up for her, that he might sanctify her, having cleansed her by the washing of water with the word, so that he might present the church to himself in splendor, without spot or wrinkle or any such thing, that she might be holy and without blemish. In the same way, husbands should love their wives as their own bodies. He who loves his wife loves himself. For no one ever hated his own flesh, but nourishes and cherishes it just as Christ does the church, because we are members of his body. Therefore, a man shall leave his father and mother and hold fast to his wife, and the two shall become one flesh. This mystery is profound, and I am saying that it refers to Christ and the church. However, let each one of you love his wife as himself, and let the wife see that she respects her husband. Children, obey your parents in the Lord, for this is right. Honor your father and mother. This is the first commandment with a promise, that it may go well with you and that you may live long in the land. Fathers, do not provoke your children to anger, but bring them up in the discipline and instruction of the Lord. Bondservants, obey your earthly masters with fear and trembling, with a sincere heart as you would Christ, not by the way of eye service as people pleasers, but as bondservants of Christ, doing the will of God from the heart, rendering service with a good will as to the Lord and not to man, knowing that whatever good anyone does, this he will receive back from the Lord, whether he is a bondservant or is free. Masters, do the same to them and stop your threatening, knowing that he who is both their master and yours is in heaven, and that there is no partiality with him. Finally, be strong in the Lord and in the strength of his might. Put on the whole armor of God, that you may be able to stand against the schemes of the devil. For we do not wrestle against flesh and blood, but against the rulers, against the authorities, against the cosmic powers over this present darkness, against the spiritual forces of evil in the heavenly places. Therefore, take up the whole armor of God that you may be able to stand in the evil day, and having done all, to stand firm. Stand, therefore, having fastened on the belt of truth, and having put on the breastplate of righteousness, and as shoes for your feet, having put on the readiness given by the gospel of peace. In all circumstances, take up the shield of faith, with which you can extinguish all the flaming darts of the evil one. And take the helmet of salvation and the sword of the Spirit, which is the Word of God, praying at all times in the Spirit with all prayer and supplication. To that end, keep alert with all perseverance, making supplication for all the saints and also for me, that words may be given to me in opening my mouth boldly to proclaim the mystery of the gospel, for which I am an ambassador in chains, that I may declare it boldly as I ought to speak, so that you also may know how I am and what I am doing. Tychicus, the beloved brother and faithful minister in the Lord, will tell you everything. I have sent him to you for this very purpose, that you may know how we are and that he may encourage your hearts. Peace be to the brothers, and love with faith from God the Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. Grace be with all who love our Lord Jesus Christ with love incorruptible. Saints, as you go about today, may God empower you to go as a gospel people who know grace and peace, so that our lives lived out will be living out Christ. Let me pray for you. Jesus, we need your help. We need you, Holy Spirit, to empower us so that we can be God-glorifying, Christ-abiding, Spirit-empowered gospel people who have lives that reflect the realities of the immeasurable grace and peace we have received. Help us for your glory, so that the world may know that they can have life, eternal life with you. It's in your name I pray. Amen.